You're listening to Bands and Botanicals, a unique podcast where trainer and trainee discuss fitness, herbalism, and healthy habits for life. We're your hosts. I'm Paula Kirsch, owner of Botanically Curious and artisan herbalist.
And my name is Danielle Kreese, certified personal trainer and owner of DC Fit. Now, before we get started, if you could do us a brief favor and go to Apple Podcasts and just leave us a review, we'd love to hear from you. And with that being said, let's start the show. Hello, everybody.
Hey, everybody.
Welcome to another episode of Bands of Botanicals.
Yeah, we are coming to you from Lithia Park in Ashland.
Yes, it's been a few rainy days here in Southern Oregon, and we are taking advantage of the beautiful weather, especially before it gets brutally hot outside.
Yeah, so today we have a really amazing guest on. So Danielle, why don't you go ahead and introduce our guest?
Yes. Well, I'm currently a coach at F45, and I met Maddie at F45. She was one of the members and clearly a badass. So I was instantly intrigued. And then just this last week, we had a kickboxing day or a kickboxing boxing style class. And Maddie just essentially dominated and just had so much confidence. And so we started talking and I learned a little bit more about her and that she was an instructor herself and a little bit about her husband as well, who's been training to fight for a while. So I decided to ask her on. I figured this was our Women's Month. And what better way than to finish with a really strong woman and someone who can maybe give you a little insight into why taking up that style of movement or that style of working out can be beneficial and kind of can give you that empowerment. So we're ending on a really strong note for our Women's Month here today. So Maddie, yeah. Welcome.
Hello there.
Thank you for joining us.
Thank you.
So Maddie, just chatting, can you give a little bit of background information about yourself just so that people could get to know you a little bit better and kind of understand where you're coming from today?
Okay, well, I'm a mother of two. I have two boys. The youngest one is 23. The oldest one is 32. I've been married for 18 years, together with him for 19 years. And my fitness started working out was actually with my mom.
I would work out with my too. Mom.
Yeah. And so from there, that's when I started continuing with fitness.
Cool. Okay, also just for the listeners, when I say that Maddie is a strong, badass woman, you said you were just about to be 53. You would never know. And that just kind of, I think, shows like movement is medicine and absolutely. It's just amazing to keep you going. And any woman at any age, I think, could take up this style of training and kind of gain that confidence. So I just wanted to point that out because I wonder if some women fear going into those things, especially as they do get older. They don't think that maybe they're capable of it.
No, you know, it's funny because majority of our members that was coming to our class were females at different ages. And like once you go in there and you hit the bag, because come on, I know everybody wants to hit something. And not do it in a safe environment.
Yeah.
So once, and then our gym is welcoming. Mm-hmm. So everybody's there for a reason, you know, to whatever it is, weight loss, or just want to hit something, or just have fun. Mm-hmm. I always say, well, let's just have fun. So the atmosphere is nice. So once they start actually hitting the bags, then they feel this empowerment, like, wow. Because this type of sport, you see a lot of men doing it. Mm-hmm. So they think, well, God, this is a man's sport. It's like, no, females can do it too. And once you try it out, you're hooked.
Oh, yeah.
So how long have you been practicing, like, kickboxing and some of those?
Well, I've started working out with kickboxing with my husband since 2003.
Okay, great.
Originally, what I was doing before this, I did a lot of weight training. Mm. In 2005, 2008, I did figure bodybuilding.
Mm.
Oh, wow.
So I competed 3 times. The first time, I didn't place at all. The second time, I placed third, and then the last one I did in 2008, I placed first, and then you have an overall with all the other girls, and I placed first.
Oh damn! Wow, damn.
Yeah.
But the wonderful experience was, I had my two kids there, so they saw me working out, being disciplined.
Uh-huh.
You know, putting the emphasis in trying to do this, and being able to stand there up on stage and announce, you know, that I won first place was an awesome feeling. And to hear my son, that's my mom, that's my mom.
Oh yeah, and I'm probably so good for your sons also to just see like a strong, capable woman too. I mean, I think kind of what boys see as they grow up and how they're raised obviously may play a role in how they look at women for the rest of their life. So just really positive to see you being just like a rock star.
Right, absolutely.
So what, before you started your fitness journey, because you and I have, we spoke a little bit when we were talking that last week, and you were talking about how fitness really gave you a certain confidence. So if you don't mind us sharing with the listeners, what were you feeling before that, kind of just with your confidence, with your self-esteem, before you kind of started bringing lifting and all of those things into your life?
When I was younger, I was really shy. And then, of course, you know, being in school, you have kids that are not very nice. So me and my sister were bullied. So until like high school. So, and of course, being bullied and not having confidence, that takes a toll on you. So then, like I said earlier, my mom was the one that got me into fitness, because we worked out together. We did aerobics, and then she ended up getting busy, so she stopped, but then I continued. And then I would push myself, but I think I used it as strength. Mm. I used it as power, because I wanted to be strong enough to where no one can hurt me. Mm-hmm. So I pushed and pushed and pushed. It was almost I was like in battle. Mm-hmm. So this way, no one can hurt me. And the funny thing is, years later, I was done with high school. I saw the bully at one of the stores, and I saw her, and I was like, and instead of being afraid and like crunched
timid,
up,
timid, yeah, yeah.
I was like, this girl's gonna see me, and I walked in the middle, and I was just like, but I was confident. I was like, she used to bully me, I used to be afraid. Now I'm not like that no more. Mm-hmm. So I think with working out, you know, it builds confidence, you know, and it's like meditation, because you're in there, you're in the moment. Because you're not in the moment, then the dumbbell's gonna drop on you.
Yeah.
And yeah, so for me, that was my zen, that was my meditation, that was my peace.
Yes. Could not agree with you more.
Yeah, I think that's great, because so often, you know, like, you can't go into a gym before you're 18, some of those other things. So unless you're already an athlete in high school or in middle school, you don't get exposed to a lot of that.
With this sport, it's brutal. I mean, especially people are not used to seeing females getting hit. We're supposed to be, you know,
demure.
Yes, well-mannered and nothing that's harsh.
Yeah.
And with this type of sport, I remember my husband telling me, okay, Maddie, when you do this, bad posture is good posture. Because you want to be slouched down, because you want to be tight, so that they won't be able to hit you. Mm-hmm. So I had to learn to be from being good posture, because my mom says, to be a lady, you got to sit up. For this training, you got to have bad posture, but that's good. So yeah.
Well, the training, definitely. I mean, when I was in college, I just did jiu-jitsu training with a friend of mine at a gym here in Ashland. And just the training alone, if you're not constantly aware of your body when you're rolling on the mat, I mean, that's just, I mean, it's a fantastic workout, but it's really easy to get injured too. So.
Oh, yes, yes. And I did a little bit of it. I just, my mind, the one I style that I like was more of the kickboxing, the stand-up, the striking. So that I felt more comfortable. Though, I mean, but it's good to learn everything.
Right.
Because if, God forbid, if you were ever to get on the ground, you want to be able to know what to do. The one thing that I did learn from doing jiu-jitsu was the elbows.
Oh, yeah.
So when someone's on you, even I didn't do it long enough, I always, like with my husband, I always would elbow him in areas where we're... So then I was like a little gnat.
Yeah. Oh, man. Oh, yes. Small and quick, I'm sure. Yeah, I wonder if you guys are ever just like... having an argument or a bad day, or like, let's take it to the mat.
Actually, you know what's so funny? We do that. If we were mad at each other and we had our class, so we wouldn't be talking to each other, and then we'd pair, who'd be my partner, and a couple of, you know, if you don't duck, I mean, he'll hit you, and I'll hit back too. But when you're done, you forget about what you were arguing about.
Yeah.
So I always tell people, this is anger management. So yeah. This helps with, this is couple management.
Couples therapy. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, yeah.
Excuse me. I think that's so fantastic because especially for girls, like you guys were talking about, you know, Danielle and I have talked a little bit about not even being able to scream or to like get
release,
loud
yeah.
or to release anything and to physically think that you can hit someone or even just being able to try is a huge step for a lot of people.
Yeah. I always feel, and we talked about that with the screaming, that I have this block or something and I can't access that power, access that voice. And yeah, you could kind of translate that into a punch maybe. If you can't express yourself or get out your frustration in one way, that could be another way that you could get out your frustration.
Well, when you're hitting, you gotta let out the air. So when we're on the bags and I'll see a couple of the gals, they're just, you don't hear it. I go, you gotta
let out that
energy, because if you keep it in, then you get tired. So I think that's another way of letting out your voice. Because then now you're just like, and then when you get angry and he's like, oh, then you start going,
yeah, and then you get into it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. I've taught, excuse me, I have a tickle in my throat. I've taught very basic, like kickboxing little combos in my boot camps. And once, like, the people in class kind of find their rhythm and stuff, you do hear a little bit of like, like during a punch or during a kick, and it definitely comes out of me and I don't even mean to do it, but you start to feel it and you do start to like harness your own power. And I remember some girls, even after the little bit that we've done together, have been like, that felt good. And I'm just like, hell yeah, it does. I mean, I think I said it the other day during the F45 class when we were doing the boxing. It's just like, it doesn't have to be a person that you're punching necessarily, but you could envision that thing that's getting in your way, that block, that's that obstacle, whether it's a person, an emotion, an experience or a situation. And like, that's what you're punching. That's what you're kicking. I mean, it's not just a bag. You need to like translate what you're going through in life. And that's how it becomes that therapy.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
And I loved, you had told me a story about a woman, and I wanted you to also bring this on the podcast, about a woman who like came into your class a little scared and kind of how you saw her confidence like transform. Did you experience that a lot? And if so, like, can you give us, you know, a more detailed story of when that happened as you were coaching different women?
Yeah. Oh, well, when she first started, when you first start off and you've never done this type of training, you get a little bit scared. So you can see her demeanor is a little bit, you're shy, you're kind of like tucked in. And I think after a couple of classes, you know, after hitting the bags, and the one thing was so beautiful is that everybody is motivating each other. So I think that made it comfortable. So I think after the second or third class, you can see her, just the way she stands, her shoulder is not
slouched
forward.
Yeah.
It's more like it's back, and then you can see the smile and then the excitement. And then we took a picture, and then you could see, you know, the first picture she was in the back, and then the third class she was almost towards the front.
Aww,
that's awesome.
Oh, it's a wonderful experience, and it's not so much you learn skills, because these actual techniques you can use, but the wonderful feelings like being able, you know, to hit the bag, you know how to hit it, you know, having people support you, say you can do it. And that's how I say, and especially when you start to get tired, you're like, you're ready to give up, you're like, no, you can push it, you're almost done. We always say dig deep. Because usually that second win, that's gonna push you through. And sometimes we want to stop it because, oh, it's no, push right through. And then when you're done, because it's gonna end, then you feel like you've accomplished something.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. Yeah, I know we've kind of talked about your husband a little bit, but I did find it interesting that he had a background in all of this stuff too. And what influences did your husband have growing up with this style of training and then bringing it into your life?
You know, when he, growing up, his mother was a single mom. She's a powerhouse. She lives in Austria. She had to take care of three boys. She was around three boys. And with Peter, he for his outlet was he did judo. So doing judo when he was 6 years old. His mom had to work 2-3 jobs at the time because she was a single mom.
Mm-hmm.
So and from there he loved it, and he continued it, and then when he moved to America, he trained with the old MMA fighters like Cesar Gracie, Frank Shamrock. He also at the time there was K-1 was another mixed martial arts type of event. He helped with the event, so he was always in that environment. So and then when I met him, he brought me to his friends in their dojo, and that's when everything started. I just watched them train, and I thought, okay, that seems interesting. And back then, I mean, I had no clue. I didn't know how to stand, nothing, and mm-hmm. it was weird hitting because it just felt awkward.
Mm-hmm.
But over time, doing it, then you feel like, wow, this is kind of cool, this is nice. And then the strength you have, you feel almost powerful, like, mm-hmm. wow, I can hit this hard, I can do this.
Oh, yeah, I mean, I saw your kicks the other day, and I'm sure that wasn't even your full force, so you definitely know how to harness your power and be powerful, and I think that's really cool, though, how he had kind of a whole life in this, and then you stepped in, and it seemed like if you guys were together for, like, 19 years, you probably stepped into kickboxing and that style of training when there weren't many women who were stepping into the dojos, into the gyms and things like that, right?
No, you know, you probably heard of Ronda Rousey.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. She, I think she made the way for female fighters because watching her and because she was so powerful, I think that's when you start seeing females fighting in MMA.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, now you see it a lot, but back then it was not much. It's mostly majority men.
Yeah.
So what inspired you and your husband to kind of start gyms together and do some of that work together?
You know, we've had several gyms in the Bay Area, and one thing we liked was the community. It brought, and it wasn't so much the fighters, because the fighters come and go. It was more like the people that came in. Since you have broken family, you have, you know, family who are single mothers, or you have a child that's ADHD. Mm. So we always, my husband told them, okay, don't give your child any meds. I want to be able to have them who they are. We'll just get the energy out of them.
Mm-hmm.
So he would work, we would do kids classes, and then we had family night where we have the parents and the kids work out. So then it brings the family together. And then once you have the families together, then you have other families, then you form a community, and then all of a sudden everybody's watching out for each other. And we always had that. So every time we had a gym and we had to go for whatever reason we had to leave, we always had that family. It was that community. Oh, you guys have to leave. It's like, it was like our next journey.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So that was the one thing, was the community, the bring people together.
Yeah, I think that's so unique, because a lot of the time when people think of a gym setting or something
like
that,
a fighting gym setting,
right,
yeah,
it's definitely not your initial reaction or your initial thought to it. And I think that that's fantastic. And here locally, I'm not even sure if we have a lot of those. Usually it's more adult oriented or some of that.
Yeah, for sure. I don't know. I mean, I don't know anything other than what you were doing.
I know they have a few out here. But with ours, what we used to do also, we would have Barbecue Friday.
Oh, nice.
So, because I think with people, when it comes to, I think, any gym setting, you know, because now you're everybody's together, you're sweating together, you did that good workout.
Mm-hmm.
People don't really like to leave right away.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, so they just want to, like, chit-chat, because now you share the same experience.
Mm-hmm.
So you chit-chat a little bit, and mm-hmm. then you form friends, and then, you know, so that was... Actually, that's what we wanted to do in the very beginning. When COVID hit, we had to close our gym. But we wanted to form that. We had this gym, but then next door to it, we wanted to have a cafe. So you didn't go right away. You pick up a protein shake or have a cup of coffee.
Nice.
So, and we think about it ever so often, like doing it again. But Right now, we're going to have to leave because of the COVID thing.
You just never know what's going to happen. Yeah.
I think that was really great when we did our last boot camp and tea event. We saw that, you know, it's like we allot 2 hours for this. And we thought, you know, we kept asking everyone, is it okay if we go over a little bit? Is it okay if we go over? And at the end, they were like, oh, sorry, we've stayed so long. And we're like, no, it's totally fine, you know, because you get those endorphins going and you're all hanging out and you're enjoying yourselves and just relaxing after a workout and drinking some tea. And it was fantastic.
And I think that when you do have that mentality too of incorporating community into the gym space, then it becomes a different feeling when mm-hmm. people work out, whether it's an indoor gym, an outdoor gym, whatever style of workout it is. I just feel like instead of people going in intimidated or people going in and just, like you said, and just leaving, and you know, that's when it, I think, becomes a chore, when you feel really isolated in it. But if you could build that community, then it turns into something really that's not just positive for your body, but positive in so many different aspects. And it kind of, it broadens the benefits, I think, of when you get into that workout. Like, you get your socializing, you get that stress relief. I mean, I think that more gyms should be like that. And I think some are trying to create more of that inviting space rather than just kind of like that harsh, like,
get your workout, get out of here.
Grunt with your dumbbells and get out.
When I used to work out at one gym where I had to motivate myself, I had my earphones on and I had to find good music. But it's you know, I mean, I would push myself, but it's always nice when you have a group setting. Mm-hmm. Something about the energy, you know, in there. I think because we want the same results, you know.
Right.
So then you feel that, so you feed off their energy. And then when you're done, you feel great. When I do it myself, you know, it's nice. It's satisfying, but I'm like, okay.
Yeah. You get that extra push, I think, when you have people around you. I mean, you saw it happen the other day at F45, and you saw the change too, I think, even maybe with the woman that you were working with and the people that I was watching, everyone did start like so unsure, mm-hmm. so unsure, so nervous of everything, or of going too hard or not going hard enough. And then people started finding it and people started punching a little bit harder. And like, you heard people encourage others, which you never heard in a normal class. Like, in all the other classes I've taught, you don't hear someone being like, hey, great job on that, mm-hmm. on that, like, sumo squat. But you had that little partner aspect, and when someone got like that good punch and they made contact, you heard the other person be like, yeah, that was nice.
Oh, nice.
And yeah. And it did, like, it, and it was, you know, it was a lot of women here, so it wasn't just a dude being like, oh, great punch, bro. Like, it was women encouraging women, being like, yeah, hell yeah, that was a good kick, that was a good punch. And it just turned into something, I think, really positive for people. And I think that's like the lesson that we could get out of what you were providing to people, and maybe just kickboxing in general, is you just feel, like, I'm making all these movements, you can't see me when you're listening to the podcast, but it's important for us women to feel powerful and strong and capable.
Oh yeah. When we were doing the classes, we also had like I said, majority was females in our class, we would hold the mitts. Mm-hmm. So you would do the jab, cross, hook on the mitts. Mm-hmm. So of course, you know, they were with us for a while, so they had to learn how to hold the mitts. But being able to, and you're moving around, so, and we're doing 3 minute rounds, 30 second intervals. Mm-hmm. So you're going full throttle, and you used to see them when they love it. They just, like, I mean, it's almost like they're like in combat. They love the feeling, being able to hit, being able to move. So that was a fun thing. And then we would have kicks to see how hard we can kick the roundhouse. They would go at it. I mean, these women, they didn't realize how powerful they were.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think that's a big aspect to it, other than just building that community of women, is realizing that power that you have. I think that's, it's really priceless. You know, if you can find that community, if you can find that, that's really great.
Yeah, I mean, even when you were saying the other day that you wanted maybe your daughter to train with us, mm-hmm. For like the month that she was off school a couple of times. And
right.
you mentioned that she was getting older and she was getting into that age where maybe she wanted to wear skirts and little things like that. And mm-hmm. you were just like, I told her that she can as long as she could protect herself and she right. needs to like build up that strength. And I think like we've all been talking about this whole time that mm. that strength then translates to the confidence of being able to take care of yourself too, which yeah. is a big deal, I think.
Yeah, I think it's very similar. You know, she's 12, and so middle school is really tough, especially for girls.
Oh,
yeah. And she's a lot Horrible. Smaller than the kids in her school because she doesn't eat meat and some of those other things, so I don't think she's getting kind of that growth as fast as everyone else. And so, yeah, she definitely, you know, not real big bullying going on, but definitely getting picked on for her size and other things. And, you know, it's an unfortunate reality. But yeah, you're gonna make yourself a target if you wear certain things as a woman. And to have to teach your kids that at a young age is really difficult, but then to give mm-hmm. them those skills to empower themselves is even more important. So yeah, I'm excited for her to work out with us during the summer.
Yeah, and if you could start teaching young girls to know their power and to have that confidence to be able to take care of themselves, I think they're could be a lot of mental anguish that could be avoided if you do start that young instead of, you know, living your life in fear or, you know, being scared to walk by yourself, even just to walk the dog or something. Like, that's ridiculous. But
right.
if you could teach them young that they have that power, they have that strength, they can mm-hmm. fight back, you teach them things that they can, like, really put into practice for their entire life. I mean, that would be, like you said, priceless.
Yeah, I don't know about you guys, but really, you know, growing up, and just being a girl, a lot of the attributes and this, you know, that I was attributed to me at least was not skills. They were looks. It was like, oh, you look so pretty, or you would look prettier if you smiled, or whatever that was. But there was never like, wow, you're really great at problem solving. I don't think I heard that until I was in, you know, my mid-20s and had my own company. And what does that do to a girl's confidence as she becomes, you know, older? It's really great to instill those skill sets and to let them know that they can build confidence and, you know, have something other than just the way they look.
And I think I'm digging this trend of women also thinking that strong is beautiful and not overly masculine, and to be able to, you know, enter a kickboxing class and kick ass, or to be able to move out a little bit of weight and stand next to a guy by the dumbbells in a gym, like, that is starting to happen, I think, where more women are like, yeah, I do want to be a badass. I don't have to be, it's not about being as like skinny as humanly possible, or, you know, just being like very frail and needing saviors and the prince that just comes to the rescue all the time. But like now, like, strong is beautiful. And I think that's such a like a powerful thing.
When I would go to the gym, it's funny because I would, a lot of the areas, like the freeways, you see majority guys.
And sometimes so I hate it because
I'm like, you know what, I want to be able to go in there and, you know. Mm-hmm. So I went in there, and I like to push myself. So I went in there, and I do a circuit training. So I went in there, not to show, but it's kind of nice to see their reaction. I can do one-arm push-ups. So I was like, one-arm push-ups. Really, and then later on, this older guy came and says, wow, that was amazing. And I was like, that's how did you do that? I go, well, you know, I gotta do this because when my husband doesn't do the dishes, I gotta give him. but if you feel powerful, it's like, wait a minute, this is not only your gym. I go, females could come in this area too.
Hell yes. Yeah, I encourage that so much. It always makes me sad when I walk into a gym and I see no women around like the dumbbell area, around like the kind of like bigger strength areas. And I don't think it's because they don't want to. I do think there's that intimidation factor or being nervous or, you know, whatever. And I'm not going to lie, one of my favorite things to do too is also go like balls to the wall in a gym around a bunch of guys and be like, what? Oh, I was about to say a bad word, but I stopped myself.
You know, speaking of that, you mentioned to me the one time you were in the gym and you were just working out and you had your like hard work face on, and some guy had the audacity to actually tell you to smile, right?
Yeah.
Oh man.
That pissed me off.
That's dangerous.
I mean, when do you ever go up to a guy in a gym and say, you'd look a lot better doing that push-up with a smile on your face? I mean, who says that? That's just, they only say that to women.
Well,
like,
we challenge our listeners to now do that. I think that would be hilarious.
Push-up with a smile on your face?
No, ask guys. Like, hey.
Oh, you know, yeah, ask a guy. You should really smile more while you're in the middle of your workout.
When I was pregnant with my second one, I was really, I think I was already far into my pregnancy. So I was huge. But I was still working out. And this one guy goes, should you be doing that still? I go, yes. I've been doing this before I was pregnant, so it's normal, it's mm-hmm. fine.
Right.
But I think for them, again, I think they look at women as fragile, that we're supposed to be taken care of, and, you know, we're you know, we have to be careful with them. No, I mean, we're badass. I mean, if we can bear a child, if we can multitask, if we can handle, mm-hmm. we can do this.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Well, with all your hard workouts and some of the training that you've done, have you ever incorporated, like, herbal remedies or natural things within your recovery?
I do, whenever I'm hurting after a good workout, I will take Arnica.
Oh, nice.
So Arnica, and right now I'm at age where I'm going through premenopause. I'll be full-blown July, because I haven't had a period for a year. That's what they consider full blown. But I've been taking, I don't want to take the hormone replacement. Well, I want to do things that are natural. So I've been taking phytoestrogen for the symptoms, or I'll do, someone told me to do a peppermint essential oil where you put it on your wrist, behind your neck, because after a while, it gives that cooling feeling. Mm-hmm. So then it helps with the hot flashes.
Mm-hmm. You should try milk thistle, especially at night before you go to bed. I get really hot at night, and so that's a fantastic way. And then it stops you from waking up in the middle of the night as well, because it helps regulate with your liver and everything. So milk thistle is fantastic, especially for hormone support.
And if someone was looking for that, would they, because I know that I've taken milk thistle in, like, supplement capsule form, would that be kind of what they'd be looking for? Would they be looking for a tea that had it, or kind of what would our listeners be looking for if they did want to go for the milk thistle route?
You know, the tea is definitely a safe bet. I always just do a capsule, just because it's easier for me. Sometimes if I'm doing evening tea, I'll drink like a chamomile instead or something. Mm-hmm. And so either a tea or a capsule is usually your best bet. And then when you were talking about Arnica, interestingly enough, when we do our next event in June, because we're going to be hiking through the woods a little bit, and there's tons of poison oak around, so I'm going to do a really great blend for hikers that's got some Arnica in it, because you can use it topically for joint pain. And it's also going to have yarrow and a few other things and jewelweed in it to help with poison oak. It's probably the best thing I've ever found to work, and better than the pharmaceutical stuff. So that'll be nice.
Amazing. And so, Maddie, kind of just to wrap it up, if you could think about what health and wellness means to you, because we ask our guests this question usually at the end of everything, what do you think health and wellness, how do you see that for your life?
Well, health, I think it's a lifestyle. You can't go in and say, well, I'm gonna do this workout because I have a wedding coming along. No, it should be a part of your life. And and I think it has to be mind, body, spirit. You have to be balanced. So once you find that balance, and I think you'll live a wonderful life, and
yeah, I love that, definitely.
Yes, me too. It you know, all of those parts of us are connected, and it's foolish to think that we should or that they are separated, I think. But with that, thank you so much, Maddie.
Thank you.
I really hope everyone enjoyed listening to this conversation and just feel empowered to maybe try something new, or try a new type of movement or fitness, and maybe kick some shit around.
And always tag us on Instagram if you guys are trying new things. We want to be able to support you and cheer you on.
And if you get nervous, you know what? Just do it. Mm-hmm. There's nothing wrong with it. Once you do it, you're going to realize, like, how much you love it.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, man. I always tell people, I'm like, your nervous energy is still energy that you could use in your workout. So just take all those butterflies and just use them to your advantage. And then, punch something hard. And next month, we have Men's Health Month. So we're going to have some guests that are men who are going to be able to just give us a different perspective, because obviously a lot of our conversations revolve around women's health. So it's going to be fun to kind of tap into the other side. So tune in for that, and we will see you next time. Peace and love.
And just-
just as a reminder, any ideas or topics discussed during this podcast should not be a replacement for any type of medical advice. Although Danielle is a certified trainer, and I have a knowledge of herbal medicine, any decision to incorporate an exercise or herbal remedy is always your own.